Good afternoon. Welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm a little throaty today, trying to get over this this crud that I have. And Mark Manning, I love you. We were just chatting.
I love you.
I love you more. We were just chatting, and I said, "Hey, I got a show to do." So thank you for tuning in and showing up with your ears and or listening to us online at kkfi.org. You know, every Wednesday we have action-packed show, and this is no exception. We have Yvonne Garnica today from Arts KC, Susanna Lee, also known as Lucky Deluxe, she's here, and our good friend Rick Stacy. And I just met Alex Kimball Williams, and I'm very excited to talk with her. She's from Lawrence, and we'll be talking to her in the first half of the program. So thank you so much again, listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Now, you know, there's people that you meet and you just love them just because you love them, their smile or what they do or their friendliness, or maybe you don't. But I can tell Yvonne Garnica, the donor relations and CRM manager with Arts KC, is one of those people, and I'm so happy, so proud to have him on the show today. He's going to talk about Arts KC. They they support and promote and advocate for the arts for our 5-county region. Now that's Clay, Platt, and Jackson in Missouri, Johnson and Wyandotte in Kansas. They have lots of events throughout the calendar, and there's just so much that they do for artists in the creative community, and as well as equal representation by the Big Five, like the Nelson Atkins, the Kansas City Museum or Kansas City Symphony, Kansas City Ballet, Lyric Opera, and Kauffman Center. So we're going to talk to Yvonne. He was born in Kansas, and he was born in Mexico, raised in Kansas City, and graduated from Drury University with his Bachelor of Arts in Arts Administration, Art History, and Fine Art. Hello, my friend.
Hello, hello.
I'm so glad you're here, and I know I went through that rather quickly because I want you to talk, because Arts KC has so much going on, and I want to mention to our listeners, too, not only are you the donor relations and CRM manager with Arts KC, but you're also a painter, an artist yourself, and play music, too, right?
Yeah, no, I do. I do. That's what really brought me really close to Arts KC.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Even as a little kid, I mean, you mentioned walking through some of the Big Five that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And as a little kid, I remember not really having a lot of things to do. I was raised in Northeast Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
My family didn't really have a lot of money, but one thing that I did when I had the ability to drive was to go to the Nelson. So I started walking around there, and I was just blown away. And
yeah,
at 16, 17 years old, that's when I'm like, I need to do something with art. I don't know what this is, but I want to do it. So,
and you've been involved in art ever since. I mean, not only with your education, but what you do now and working, as a working artist.
Yeah, and during college, that's when I really started painting. So I really started to figure out what I really wanted to do, rather than just appreciate everything that I was seeing. I wanted to be a part of it too.
I started doing
all these different paintings, and the more I did it, the more I was starting to be involved. The more I figured this is amazing. I want to help everyone else that I've been meeting as an artist too, and coming back to Kansas City, Arts KC was the way to really start digging into that part of it.
You know, and I think being a working artist, you understand what the artist's needs are and, what you can do to help assess that and get them, in the direction that they need to go.
Yeah, I figured that there was a line between someone telling you what you need as an artist, whether it's music, performing arts, visual, whatever it is, someone telling you this is what you need, and actually knowing what the person actually needs to do to be successful, and kind of seeing that perspective. I bring that to people that I talk to, organizations that I work with, and it's definitely a blurry line sometimes.
So let's get started about Arts KC, because I know throughout the year there's always something going on with Arts KC, and I know we're at the end of the year, so what can you tell us, Yvonne?
Well, one of the biggest things that we've been doing, we're trying to push this throughout as many organizations as we can. Right now, there is the holiday season. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but there's a lot of things happening for the holiday season.
Yeah,
one thing that we're one thing that we're trying to push is buying art for the holidays. Mm-hmm. So whether it's mm-hmm. it's instead of getting a T-shirt or pajamas or new clothing for someone, our whole message throughout the community is buy an experience. Mm-hmm. Buy tickets to mm-hmm. whether it is a performance at For the Nutcracker at the Kaufman, or if it's something small as in, you know, I went to this pottery workshop and I made this and, mm-hmm. and I want to gift this to you. So our idea is rather than buying something like that, buy an experience or buy something that was handmade by some of the artists mm-hmm. here. And I had a couple of events, if you wouldn't mind, that I wanted to toss out some
sure.
things that we were looking
absolutely,
at.
Absolutely, please.
Some things that an Arts KC Go, so this is a calendar that list events throughout the region, big and small ones. For example, we have Jazzy Hip Hop Christmas at the Blue Room at the American Jazz Museum on Saturday, December 22nd. And it's a little bit of a twist. And I think that's something different uh-huh. that a lot of people would like. And
it's, no, go ahead.
Yeah, it could be something as something musical like that, or the Belgia Arts Center. They mm-hmm. have all these different vouchers for date nights. You know, you buy a yeah. ticket for a date night, yeah. you go and you make some pottery and you get to take it home.
I wanted to go back to the Blue Room. Mm. What can we expect with that? What is that about?
It's a collaboration with a few different artists, but some of the main people are going to be Braz and Bougie. We got Bobby Watson and uh-huh. Lisa Henry. So everyone's going to give okay. their own presentation, but it's very, very jazzy, very doing a lot of the traditional Christmas songs, but very uh-huh. on a different level. You
wow,
know? And that's
wow.
that's something different, and yeah. that really popped out when we were looking at it. And it's exciting. It's something different, and that's what yeah. we try to push people towards, of encourage some of the things that are going on in mm-hmm. the community. There's mm-hmm. always something going on,
yeah.
so buying those experiences, or it's something different.
You know, for our listeners that are curious about upcoming events and what you just mentioned, would you share the website with
yes.
us, please?
So artskcgo.com. It's a big calendar, and a very, very basic way to look at it is if you are an arts organization in the five-county region and you have events going on, you can make your own profile and put as many events as you want on there. And there we have a top 10 section, we have a holiday section that we're trying to encourage people to look at for these gifts, and we have the free section.
Well, and you can say that because you're not for profit, and so, you know, we do follow FCC guidelines, and so not for profit can mention that events are free and that sort of thing. So does this only work for not for profit organizations on the artskcgo.com?
Yes, all these okay. Organizations that are listed there, in order to have your profile, you had to be an arts nonprofit.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. And, you know, again, you can just kind of access that to see what's coming up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you get to see, you can choose dates and when you want to see it. You can choose mm-hmm. whether you want to see music, whether mm-hmm. you want to see walks, festivals, mm-hmm. whatever it is. You can start boiling down to that kind of point. So you can really start figuring out things that you would like to do around mm-hmm. The community for that.
Wow, and that's just, now, is it just covering till the end of December, or does it go further out into the spring, into 2019, which is right around the corner?
Oh my goodness, that's coming up in a couple of days,
I know,
isn't it?
I know.
Wow, it's crazy.
Ugh.
No, this definitely, what we're pushing is for the holidays right now, trying to encourage more people for any Christmas ideas, any New Year's ideas.
Okay.
So a little bit of everything. But yes, this goes, you know, years down.
Terrific. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, talking to Yvonne Garnica, who is the Donor Relations and CRM Manager with Arts KC. And Arts KC is located at 106 Southwest Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri. And I know sometimes they have events in that location too, right?
Yeah, we have different kinds of small events, presentations. We do a lot of advocacy. So mm-hmm. a lot of the things mm-hmm. that we present, we bring a lot of people, invite them to the little gallery space there. And we actually have something coming up on January 31st. So we're going to have a whole new artist showing on the walls. We're going to have a musician playing as
okay.
well. It's going to be a nice little time, but that's for the new year.
Can you share with us who the artist is?
Yes, it's going to be a black and white photographer by the name of Joe Kelly.
Okay.
And he is presenting his work from New York City, mm-hmm. back in Studio 54. So he's going to have a lot of really interesting shots going around there.
Okay, I like it already.
Oh, it's really, really nice.
People are like, the Studio 54? What's that? But we know. With this particular photographer, with this artist, is it someone that you sought out, or was there submission for exhibition in that space?
Normally we try to focus on showing artists who have gotten a inspiration grant from us. So when we give an individual a grant, we try to kind of showcase some of their work and encourage, you know, more participation.
Yeah.
This was a connection that we had by one of a great friend of Arts KC. They recommended Joe Kelly because they've seen him before. Mm-hmm. So we brought him into the space, and we're really happy to have him here.
And I know you mentioned Inspiration Grant because not only will you be here today to talk about that, we're also going to bring you back on, what, another month or so? Oh, honey, you can come back every week. I don't care.
You're too good.
We're going to bring you back to prompt artists and organizations to really invest in inspiration grants. So if you would share with us what's happening with that.
So Arts KC focuses on three specific types of grants. Right now we are in the inspiration grant round. This is the second round of it. And inspiration grants are, if you are an individual artist, visual, performing, music, whatever it is, and you have an idea for a project that will be happening between... what are the dates? Between late 2019 and about the spring of 2020. So this is far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a project for the community, any kind of idea that you want to do around that time frame, you can apply, say it's exactly what it is going to be, how it's going to affect the community, why you need it, mm-hmm. and specifically how it's going to advance your career in the arts.
Okay.
If you do all this, then you are qualified to receive an inspiration grant, mm-hmm. and it varies on the amount depending on how much you need. And more details are on artskc.org under the grants tab. This is a location where you can find more information on the specific details of what a grant application looks like, mm-hmm. what do you need. It gives a lot of different resources. And these grants, the preliminary applications, are due February 1st, 2019.
And that's why I wanted you to sort of introduce that on air here. And then you'll be back to prompt people to, hey, you know,
it's
clock's
coming
ticking.
Up. It's coming
you know,
up.
Because it's really important. I know there's a lot of artists who were granted these the inspiration grants, and I think Jeff Harshberger may have been one of them. Could have been Charlotte Street, but at any rate, they're valuable to mm-hmm. us, you know, in the community. So, yeah,
and that's something we encourage. I mean, the preliminary will be sent in by February 1st, mm-hmm. and our grants manager Heather Beffa, who does mm-hmm. an incredible job of really working with artists and organizations and even programs within nonprofits that aren't arts focused, but they'll have uh-huh. a program for the arts. So she's amazing, and any questions, she will be able to help. But one must read through all the resources uh-huh. and make sure to read everything on that section before reaching out.
Yeah, I think that's important. Is there something else that you want to talk about that bears?
Well, there's just so many things going on right now. But no, mainly those events and really focusing on, we're going to have a celebration for the arts. It's called the Awards Luncheon. It's coming
up.
Yeah,
when is
it? It's late February.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's coming around the block. Uh-huh. Another 2019 event.
Where's that going to be held?
This is going to be at the Kansas City Convention Center.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so we're going to have a big stage. We're going to have uh-huh. several performers, and we're working on the visual we're going to have a little gallery up front when you walk mm-hmm. in, and we're going to have a big open space, a big ballroom, and more details can be found on artskc.org.
Beautiful. Now, Yvonne, for the holidays, are you going to get back into the studio? Or are you going to maybe be able to close the doors for a couple of days with Arts KC and just kind of get back into your painting?
It's going to be a restarting kind of time. You know, I'll have my email open for anyone who has questions. But yeah, we're going to be closed all of next week.
Okay.
So the actual offices are going to be closed, and this is the time where I'm going to be painting a lot. So I'm working on a couple of black and white paintings, and it takes a lot of time, but it's very, very fun.
Oh, excellent. Do you, is there anything that we left off that you want to mention to our listeners before we take a break?
I definitely don't want to overwhelm them with any information. I mean, we threw quite a few things, and if I missed out, I'll definitely be back very soon.
Well, if people want to reach out to you or the organization, if you would share with us any sort of social media or contact information they need to know.
Yeah, we are actually on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. So anything Arts KC, just searching that, and we'll be on there. And any questions about anything, it's just email me. I'm more than happy to talk to anyone, meet people for coffee, whatever they like. And my email is igarnica@artskc.org.
Excellent. You did fine.
Yeah.
You did fine.
Well,
I know you're
fun.
A little worried, but, you know, fun. We're going to do this quarterly, but we're going to have you back sooner so that we can prompt people to get those, you know, applications in.
No, we'll work on that.
Very good.
We're going to be really good friends.
Happy holidays to you, kiddo.
Happy holidays.
We love you. And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this.
Support for KKFI is provided by Vulcan's Forge, a boutique jeweler in the heart of Midtown that has delighted and surprised three generations of Kansas Cityans. Whether it's bridal, upscale, costume, or custom, Vulcan's Forge has that special something for your special someone. Open 7 days a week, services include repair, sizing, cleaning, engraving, ear piercing, watch bands, and batteries. Located at 3936 Broadway Boulevard, learn more at vulcans-forge.com.
Hi, I'm Linda Wilson, host of Woman Song on Saturdays at 11 a.m. As a retired federal employee, I ask all my federal employee friends to support KKFI through the combined federal campaign. A few dollars each payday through payroll deductions could hardly be missed by you, but to add up to being a big help for KKFI Community Radio. The CFC agency code is 21994. That's 21994. Thanks for your support.
You're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, a little nasally, but it's okay. Working through it. Hope you're well, and you know, thank you so much for tuning in and you know, sticking with us on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we have Alex Kimball Williams, who is a multicultural musician, writer, speaker, teacher, and scientist. She is a native Lawrencean, I guess. Would that be the right way of pronouncing that? She's organizing in the community with several groups, including Black Lawrence, Epicenter, the East Side People's Intercultural Center, and Girls Rock Lawrence. They focus on race, politics, nature, culture, and the beauty of people of color. So I'm very happy to meet you, Alex, and we want to say thank you to Marcia Epstein for doing the introduce.
So, yeah. Marcia's a great friend, for sure. I met them a couple years ago.
Yeah. So I know we talked a bit in the green room, and I said, you know, tell your story. What do you want people to know about you and upcoming events and all that? So where do we start? Because there's so much as a musician, writer, speaker, teacher, and scientist. Where do you want to begin?
I would say that my main goal for the Lawrence community and larger than that is to get people to question things. As a scientist, that's definitely my background, to question and test things. Mm-hmm. And I really encourage people to broaden their understanding and their appreciation that they have for themselves. And that includes working on their discrimination and biases behaviors. That includes educating themselves and each other. And that includes speaking up and setting boundaries and just empowering themselves.
Mm-hmm. And now, is it mostly women, focused on women or people of color? Or
mostly people of color and women. I like to stay within my lane and as far as my experience goes. Obviously, having come from Haskell, I have a lot of Native ties, so a lot of times I'll be talking to Native folks or Black folks.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been organized, or have you been with the groups like Black Lawrence, the Epicenter, and Girls Rock Lawrence? Are you a founding member of these groups?
For the Epicenter, we have about 6 or 7 founding members. And we did just start that this year, but we have a full year of programming that we've been doing, and we have things for next year as well. Mm-hmm. And then with Black Lawrence, we're about a year and a half old, and I'm one of the original members of that. And Black Lawrence is an acronym. For a Black Literature and Arts Collective. And we model ourselves after the Black Arts Collectives of previous generation, mm-hmm. And kind of adding our own twist to it and things that we'd like to do in the community. And then as far as Girls Rock goes, I've been a part of it since it began, and only this year have I become an actual leader within the main organizing group. And but yeah, I just love putting on events. The main thing that I like to focus on is making it accessible and making sure that events are, you know, they don't cost or that they're easy to mm-hmm. go to and that kind of thing to mm-hmm. really make sure that everybody in the community can participate.
Well, as far as events go, what sort of events that do you organize and where are they located and all?
Yeah, with Epicenter, most of our events are at the Sunrise Project. They're our fiscal sponsor. The types of events that we like to put on is inviting an artist or an activist or an artivist to come in.
I like that word.
Yeah, I did not coin that. but bringing in people to broaden people's mindsets regarding people of color and art and culture and activism. And we'd like to bring in people just to talk with our audience about, like one of the people that we had this past year was Whitney Manny, and they talked about ethical clothing and incorporating African-American culture and architecture in Kansas City. And it was super cool to have them. And so many of our guests, you know, they don't always see things like that, or it costs money to go to things like that. And yeah, it was just wonderful to bring those people.
Well, I understand the impact of the work that you do, as it's really impacted the Lawrence community through protest and musical performance, writing and speaking, and all in the name of self-love, promoting self-love, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of the events that you have coming up? I know, again, it's the end of the year, and then I know we're kind of scrambling to get through December and all that. Is there something that you want to talk about for December?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as far as December goes, it's the month of Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. And so Black Lawrence is just like last year, we're trying to figure out how we can bring the community together. When we had a Kwanzaa celebration last year, it was the first public Kwanzaa celebration in Lawrence history.
Oh, wow.
As far as like inviting everybody and it being free and and stuff, and just really instructing everybody, including the Black attendees, what Kwanzaa was about. Mm-hmm. And so that was really powerful. So we definitely want to do that again. Because it's December and a lot of the students are out of town, Epicenter and some of my other groups are probably not going to have a Final Friday event that we typically have each month. But in January, it being Martin Luther King Day, and February being Black History Month, we definitely have a lot of stuff coming up. We'll be working with the Lawrence Public Library to do a panel on intersectionality as far as Martin Luther King's work went. A lot of people don't know that about 1 month before he was assassinated, he started working with the American Indian Movement. And a lot, that's just a part of his work that often goes overlooked. And so we're going to talk about that.
You know, if our folks are interested in finding more about your organizations or about you as a musician, writer, speaker, and such, do you have social media or contact information you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah. For music, I go under the name Bad Alaskan. I'm Alaskan native and Black, and so I have SoundCloud and different Instagram and Facebook pages. My Facebook is pretty much dedicated to social justice and environmental justice, and I do write on Medium and a couple different platforms. For the Epicenter, we do have a website. It's epicenterks.com, and we do have information on there regarding our events. If people want to learn more about us and the things that we do, they can go there.
Now, I know you're focused mostly in Lawrence, but do you have any spillover here in Kansas City? Are you affiliated with any groups here in Kansas City?
I came and did an open table discussion about self-love, particularly for women, and that was something that I do up here. I also play music up here a lot. It's just a wonderful, there's so many wonderful venues, and I appreciate the Jazz District, 18th and Vine, for sure. But yeah, I definitely come up here a lot.
Well, you know, there's so much that, you know, that you do in your life. I know that I definitely want to have you back to do some performance or some music and all that, and encourage you to invite some of your members of the other groups, because I think it's important that, you know, we learn about your organizations here in Kansas City if we don't already. You know, have you had events at the Uptown Arts Bar and local areas, local venues around here?
Yeah, I've definitely, I have a really good friend, Sia Cole, Valencia Cole, who does events over at the Uptown Arts Bar, and I've definitely visited that area. I also like that area as well.
Yeah, and I know the Writer's Place just recently moved from the location over here at 36th in Pennsylvania. So is there any sort of a collaboration with them at any time? Or
Not that I'm personally aware of. In the groups, we do definitely split up the leadership very evenly. So a lot of us have different connections, for sure.
You know, I keep looking at the Girls Rock Lawrence. Can you explain a little bit more what Girls Rock is?
Yeah, Girls Rock is for girl and trans and otherwise youth to learn music, and they have 1 week to do it, and at the end of the week they record and have to perform. And it's just been beautiful to see all these youth transforming in different ways throughout the week. And since I visit the Lawrence Public Schools so often to talk and teach, it's really cool to see them in those settings and kind of see what they're like and how it's changed them. And I think this year is the fourth year, if I'm not mistaken, of Girls Rock. And I've just been a drum instructor and a band coach mostly throughout those years.
Well, I don't see mentor on this list, and it definitely fits this bill. But you are a teacher, writer, speaker, drummer, and piano, you say?
Yeah.
And scientist.
Yeah.
Just real quick, a scientist in what?
A neuroscience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm at KU doing my PhD program for neuroscience. I did take about a year off because I'm also writing, and I wanted to focus on that. I don't like to do anything halfway, so I thought I would just take the break and do that. But I'm almost done with that now, so.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here in the studio with us and sharing all this information and sharing yourself and your activism with our listeners. So thank you for coming in. And I know I'm going to have you back because I've got you earmarked for some projects.
That sounds great.
Down the road. So, yeah, we'll talk more.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Alex Kimball Williams. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is a documentary that focuses on one of the great all-time operatic divas, and it's called Maria by Callas.
And it features Maria in all of her glory from the beginning throughout her life. It's fascinating to me. You see interviews with Edward R. Murrow and talking with her about her own thoughts. And I think she lived her life with a philosophy that destiny determines everything.
Yeah, this movie, as much as anything, allows her to tell her own story because it is all interviews and you hear her voice. The only exception to that is when her letters are read. Those are read by Kansas City native Joyce DiDonato, the famous operatic diva of her own right. And it's an interesting movie mainly because, as you point out, it fills in a lot of gaps that we don't know from her life. But at the same time, it's only from her perspective.
I enjoyed the transformation of her being looking like a young, intense Audrey Hepburn. And then as time went on, she began to look like Jackie Kennedy. And here was the big surprise. She ends up being Aristotle Onassis' best friend long before Jackie came along. I won't say any more.
Well, I think it's pretty common knowledge for anybody who knows her that even after Jackie, she was still with Ari.
Yeah, but I didn't know that, and right. I thought, fascinating. He has a template for what he went for, but she loved him.
Yes, and, you know, she's famous for being tempestuous, and that doesn't fully come through here, but her strength of ego certainly does.
Oh, that was the most enjoyable part for me, is seeing how she had an opinion for everything.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
Listening to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm here with you every Wednesday, noon to 1, on 90.1 FM KKFI. Kansas City Community Radio. No, I'm not hopped up on cough syrup. I'm just goofy. Up next, we have the beautiful and talented, the brilliant Susanna Lee, Lucky Deluxe. Now, she has performed her one-woman shows throughout the United States. Lee is a stand-up comic, storyteller, and a patron saint to provocateurs. To people everywhere. She's been professionally touring the country since 1996, and she was booked on a college comedy tour, and she's just been all over the place, including her first TED Talk at TEDKU on the University of Kansas campus, and that was recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the end of September in 2017.
Oh, yeah, I just read that.
No, that's okay. I was going to say.
I am hopped up on cough syrup. No, I'm not. But, you know, we love when you're here, Susanna Lee. We love when you're here.
And I love being here, Maria. I'm so grateful for the opportunity that you've always given me, the platform for me to speak.
Well, we love that you contribute to the show, either, you know, with mine or other shows here at KKFI, because you have always a beautiful point of view. And we're going to talk about something that's very dear to all of us, safe space, because you reached out to me and said, you know, I want to have a discussion. How do I premise this? How do I get started? And let's talk.
You know, you gave me such wonderful feedback on that. And it is odd to be on your show without, you know, something sort of tangible to promote, to try to get people to come to, like, no show to promote, yeah. No anything. But
but that's community radio, kiddo. And
yeah, oh, I love it.
And, you know, I think everyone has a voice here, whether they're, you know, they have a showing of work coming up or... You know, call for
It's odd to not have that sort of call to action and more just call for awareness and call for consideration.
Yeah.
The safe space conversation, you know, the component of it that I'd like to talk about is, well, there's so many.
Yeah. Yeah.
As always, with me. I think that, though, the safe space, the idea of a safe space has errors. I mean, logistic errors. Safe is a subjective word, so I question if we can even ever guarantee that any space is safe. And I don't know that that's the best thing that we should even hope for, because I think that there's something beyond safe that maybe facilitates more growth and more community strengthening, and that would be an open space.
Open space, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I was employed for over a year at a business that was known to be a safe space. And through a lot of things I observed and a lot of experiences I had, I began to see the fallacy in that system. And it became problematic with me morally to continue to support, you know, something that was inauthentic, disingenuous, because a safe space ends with the exile of the offender. You know, there's nothing beyond that, and I think that if we're going to be a, you know, progressive culture, and if we're going to be a community that's based in growth and we're trying to unite, then why aren't we having the conversations that turn monsters back into men, you know, men in quotations, humans?
Right.
Why aren't we having the conversations that allow for understanding and greater depth in our human experience? Where is the redemption? Where is the possibility of redemption? It's not just beneficial to the offender to be, you know, reintroduced into the community. It's not just beneficial. I was in a situation where I was accused of something that is... incredibly offensive to my core values. And I was not allowed to have a conversation. I was not allowed to explain my position. I wasn't allowed to say, hey, I'm not this horrible thing. I'm just, you know, at times a jerk. You know, like for
you're
reason.
Human.
Yeah, you're human. Yeah, it's not like, it's not terrible, you know, values. It's just, you know, occasionally I, you know, let the ego pop out. And and that's unfortunate. But I would like to have had a conversation, because I don't want someone to think that the world is horrible and hard for even one more person's worth of, let's say, racism. I would much prefer, you know, the world is horrible and hard because sometimes people are jerks. Sometimes people are reactive, not responsive.
I would agree with that. And now, do you find it just, you know, I mean, does it go beyond workplace? Does it go beyond, is it community? Is it school? Is it?
It's everything. Everywhere that call-out culture is present, this lack of further step is present. You know, if we're modeling call-out culture, if we're making it more of a legitimate thing, if it's not just, sort of forcing someone out socially, ignoring mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. if there's going to be mm-hmm. actual repercussions, then there has to be actual standards. There has to be actual due process. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are creating a microcosm of the broad picture of the world in your small business, then you have to do it all the way. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think that to promote conversation, to promote between parties with neutral mediation, promotes open space. It promotes open mind. Yeah. And isn't that what we're going for? Well, are we going just to quantify, you know, whose safety is most important? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where are the checks and balances? You know, to not have this component, to not have the conversation that follows the accusation, to not have the possibility of redemption, to just exile and leave it there is what allows people to victim doubt. Mm-hmm. That's what allows people to say, oh, you're just doing this to ruin his career, because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. we have yeah. nothing that yeah. allows reentry. We have no rehabilitation. The teachable moments are ignored.
You know, this is such a huge conversation, because I mean, not only is it timely, mm-hmm. and perhaps each of us has felt this way, and or have been in a similar situation. Yeah. I mean, how do we begin to fix it? How do we begin to, you know, examine what we need to do?
I mean, I don't know.
I know.
That's yeah. that's the thing. What well, is the think, call to action? The call yeah. to action is only the yeah. awareness,
yeah.
the awareness of the scope of possible damage, mm-hmm. and to see that this can come back the complete opposite way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this
yeah.
can come back to bite us if we don't address it, and if we don't grow the conversation, if we don't grow the process, and if we don't shift the paradigm to something that is more progressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I told you I'm not going to go into much detail, but
right, right.
I remember hearing two performers have a conversation about another performer they'd seen on stage that night, and they found what he said objectionable, and they what he said was edgy. I mean, it was definitely not a common subject to talk about, and he certainly was not taking the common viewpoint on that subject, but what he was doing was describing his life experience,
mm-hmm.
and it was in the fact that art provokes and evokes emotion, it mm-hmm. was absolutely mm-hmm. art, mm-hmm. and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was difficult, it was disturbing, mm-hmm. but it was beautiful in that, because it was mm-hmm. true expression. Mm-hmm. So afterwards, I'm hearing these other two performers talk about it, and talk about how it made them feel unsafe, and he shouldn't mm-hmm. be allowed to say those mm-hmm. things in public. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, now,
yeah.
doesn't that kind of
yeah.
flip it over? Doesn't that,
uh-huh.
you know, doesn't that take it to censor? He shouldn't be allowed to. So how is...
Wow.
And also, has safety ever created good art? Or not good, but has safety ever created challenging art?
Yeah.
Art that
yeah.
makes us think? And isn't one of the goals of art to provoke thought, to open your mind to something that you haven't seen in a way that allows you to access further experience?
Yeah, you know, there's so many really good questions, and I think, you know, just bringing it to light here,
yeah.
you know, I hope people are thinking about this and maybe, you know, wondering, you know, where do we begin? Where, you know, what?
I think that's
the next step.
I think that also taking a deeper look at the people that you're calling out
mm-hmm.
before calling them out in a way that damages their life.
Yeah.
You know, I myself felt, because I wasn't allowed to explain myself, silenced
mm-hmm.
and shamed. And when you're not allowed to explain yourself,
yeah.
sorry, all you can do is internalize what's being said
right.
about you. And even if you know that that's 1,000% not mm-hmm. who you are,
well,
there's no possibility of denial.
Well, I'm grateful that, again, that you have the honesty to, you know, when you approached me, you know, I don't know how you know, what I need to do, what I need to say, and, you know, let's just put it out there and, you know, begin this discussion, begin to peel back and really have some discussion that can be helpful to not only for yourself, but for others. I mean,
even opening to the awareness of our own actions and our own part in the cycle. You know, because it is all just, it's just like the rings in a tree. It's all the same thing, just bigger, 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 more people affected.
Like an onion.
You know, I know that it's, it made me, it made me think about situations that I've been in that where I didn't allow the possibility of explanation.
Yeah. You know, I think we just strive to be better people. I think, I like to think that, we do. I, you know, sometimes it's questionable. You know,
it is.
Susanna, you are again a.
All sorts of things.
I know. That's what I love about you. Stand-up comic, storyteller, patron saint to everyone everywhere. Because sometimes I feel like I can't
provide tours.
It's like I sound like a 3-year-old trying to sound it out. But you know. Congratulations on your TED Talk, and maybe this gives you that sort of platform to,
Well, it's definitely a conversation that's given me sort of a new, not a new focus, but just something else that I'm, you know, drawing from, something else I'm drawing stories from.
Well, and I also think, you know, because it involves the arts, you know, maybe this is long overdue discussion that we haven't really had, so.
I'm reading more articles about it in national publications about the missing piece of call-out culture, and I think that it's definitely, definitely time to bring it locally. And, you know, let's, I don't know, get our community back on track, working towards unity and being able to love each other,
I agree.
Know, and support each other. If we don't have each other in the arts community, what do we have?
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I definitely want to have you back because we'll have a much larger discussion with other artists.
Can we get a marathon session?
Yes, we can.
For like maybe the fun drive or something.
Starting in like 1 hour.
Yeah.
No, I think that'd be great. I think it's an important,
you
know, topic. And certainly others should weigh in on it.
I really appreciate you letting me just begin the conversation here.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's clearly, it's so uncomfortable for me, but I really appreciate you letting me have the time. Thank you.
You're our friend. You're a contributor.
I absolutely love you and your show and KKFI in general. Thank you.
Thank you, my dear. And you know, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. You're tuned to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boy, your host producer, every Wednesday, noon to 1. You know, and up next, we have another favorite, another fabulous friend of KKFI. Rick Stacy is an artist, writer, instructor, performer, and producer. He's worked with DC Comics, Marvel, Disney, Warner Brothers, International Publishing, The Rod Serling Estate, and Star Wars for Lucasfilm, and he's been an instructor at the Kansas City Art Institute, Westport School of Art, and Shawnee Mission Gifted Art Program. He's done it all. He's done everything. Welcome, my friend.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be back here.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I want to mention Rick has books and writings and self-pub, you know, poetry.
I'll read your poem if you like. But you have to help me with the big words.
It's a little shaky. My palm's a little, but we're happy to have you back, Rick Stacy. Yeah, you've got a lot going on. We talked in the green room prior to the show going on air. Where do you want to start?
Well, a lot of things have been transpiring, and greatly appreciate the opportunities I've had in the comic book world because I had the chance to touch the hem of the garments of all the characters that inspired me as a kid. With inspirational messaging and doer of good things, etc. And while that's been extremely important for me, and I'll be at Planet Comic Con this year, it's March or something like
that. Yeah.
Check your local listings. I broke a mold a few years ago, and some people like it, and some people are quite uncomfortable with it, by just writing musings and poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's a lot of people, when you say poetry, that's like, oh, you're not drawing Spider-Man? No, this is kind of a poetry thing. It's like, where's my exit and where's my Uber? So I do this because this is my art in its purest, most organic form.
Right.
And as I've written, I just freeform with silly words and this and that, and often little stories come up, and those stories have contemporary meaning and impact. And without, you know, saying too much, as I told you in the green room, I never wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to write about autism or loneliness or social media, or tomorrow on my schedule I'm going to write about trans. I just write stuff. And it's basically very entertaining, often a bit humorous, because humor is the key to breaking down walls
and
opening communication.
I think so.
And taking next steps from there. So met a gentleman named John Schuchart. And John Schuchart is an author and a filmmaker. He is, as I check my notes here, a mental health expert and an advocate at DABI, National Alliance of Mental Illnesses. And he fancies my writing. And he thinks I'm a bit of a giggle. So the more we talk back and forth, we talked about taking a large amount of this writing that I've done and seeing how it would dovetail into entertaining content for challenged and marginalized adolescents who are lonely, or let's just say it, contemplating suicide. Okay, so there's a pandemic of this, and it's shocking, and it's infuriating. I'm waving my hands because I'm part Italian. And something has to be done to try to focus and stay focused on this issue, not of all suicide, of course, but these 8, 9, and 10, 11-year-old children that are taking their lives. What can be done other than saying, oh, guest speaker out at so-and-so school district, and hope that works out well for you? So we're looking at creating a pilot program that will change, big words, change culture and the way we understand this depression, and not from an authoritative standpoint about what can be your problem. Yeah, you three meals and you live in an ice block. It takes away from that. It's looking at what can be done to embrace conversation and take all the shame out of it, because no matter what we are,
there's a stigma attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Stigma and shame, and no matter what we are, as I wave my arms around everybody here, similarities and differences, we're people. We are meat and bone meal, and feelings and emotions. And I want to really give props to Susanna Lee for what she said a few minutes ago, because it's extremely touching, and it's spot on. So looking at those things, we want to create some kind of approach to a program that lives and lasts to change that culture and help people, first of all young people, but then all people, change the culture, open the doors to conversations, and do it with a wee bit of humor, because that takes the sting out of all this. It's the safety net with messaging. And aren't you glad you had me on to do my diatribe?
Well, thank you, Rick Stacy, for coming on today. And next up next week, it's fine with you. No, I think it's a beautiful project that is meaningful, and it will impact so many of our adolescents.
We hope so, because we're looking at doing something organic. And at one time we talked about an app. I'm apped out.
I'm
going to opt out of apps, as a matter of fact.
But you also mentioned sort of a component that is a peer sort of a mentorship or
if you had a program, and you have to Google this, like Who Moved My Cheese a few years ago, that made a considerable ripple in the business culture. If you had a program where you had something tangible, let's use these young people, that would give them a chance to creatively look at and pull out of, and I'm talking about a coloring book or an activity book, and everybody says coloring books, they all are very popular because they're interactive. And John's talking about taking a battery of my work, putting it in age-appropriate activity books, so you can work out your questions and thoughts and emotions. Say you do that in 7th and 8th grade. Say you have some of the 8th graders there that are, I won't say trained, but instructed on helping you navigate this, as opposed to a well-intended teacher that says, what is your problem? And that grows that culture just to get rid of the stigma of shame, open the doors to the elephant in the room, mm-hmm. and take next steps to try to solve, rectify, and heal.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and it sounds like it begins to sound like a workbook that you work through.
Yes.
Do you find it? Is it something that's lacking in our education? I mean, I know we have, you know, health classes. Well, some schools have health classes and, you know, science and all that. But do you think it could be a part of the curriculum, or is it going to be separate from the schools?
I would like to see it be part of that curriculum. And the answers that I don't yet have on that, but mm-hmm. as John Schuchart, who does a lot of lectures, mm-hmm. and asked me to go with him, mm-hmm. Will mention, it becomes a situation where there's a block of time and you have somebody come out and speak about it, mm-hmm. and they go home and everything takes place the next day. Nothing really changes. Yeah. No seeds are appropriately planted until we change the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, again, the message that you and Susanna both had are very powerful, and you know, let's talk. You know, it's we've got to start somewhere. What is the next step with this?
Well, quite honestly, we're supposed to meet this week or next week and look at a business plan. Uh-huh. So the wheels are moving, and you know, when it comes to lives of everyone, mm-hmm. but especially the most vulnerable, these children, we want to move quickly, expedite mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. we can. Mm-hmm. So, but we've got to do it right too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we are in line and in movement. We had this conversation 10 days ago, and we're looking at various stages from, as I mentioned, an activity book that would graduate itself to mm-hmm. a direct-to-video that mm-hmm. we talked about, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to something else that would be a bigger, higher, wider, that would profit NAMI in town and St. Jude's Hospital and Children's Mercy. So there's all kinds of ways to approach this in a long-term, committed platform.
You know, Rick, if you would share with our listeners your contact information, social media, or website, anything that you
want. You can find me at rickstacy.com. Stacy is the Italian spelling. So it's S as in Santini, T as in Tomasino, A as in Antony, S as in Santini, and I would like to hear from you. So rickstacy.com, and you can reach me on Facebook. And we could be jolly friends forevermore.
I love that. I know we are.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Here's a big heart, see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love you, Rick Stacy. And I know we're running out of time, but again, your website?
RickStacy.com. Brand new website. So
beautiful.
Come take a look, and you'll look and see some of the cacophony of crazy stuff that I do. But it's all creative. Remember, no art needs to be created and shoved under a bed.
Right.
All art
right.
is performance art.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Rick, we love you, and I know you'll be back.
Love you back.
We've got to have you for more
here.
Conversation.
I know the
good.
Way.
And I want to say thank you to all of my guests today who provided some wonderful insight and information to our listeners. Yvonne Garnica, Susanna Lee, Rick Stacy, Alex Kimball-Williams. Thank you so much for being a part of Art Speak Radio today. Stay tuned next for Jazz Afternoon, and I believe Roger Wilder is going to fill in for our beloved Jeff Harshbarger. Jeff, I missed my kiss this week, so you owe me double next week. You know, and before I close out today, I just want to mention that you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. With the holidays coming up, please, please, please think about setting a chair for our loved ones, our family, and our friends who aren't with us. Nick, this is for you.